Blog Talk Radio.
Something is going on. Some of us see it, some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself. Let me tell you a story. For a very long time, our world has been under the growing influence of a vast transgenerational criminal mafia that was able to rise up to the highest levels of power. We didn't know because they talked and acted just like you and me. We thought we could recognize true criminals by their words and actions, but were deceived by their sophisticated speech, wealth, education, beauty, and power. Through a system of threats, blackmail, and bribery, they would come to occupy the highest levels of power in government, corporations, and education. You may know them as the Deep State or Cabal.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. One side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good. But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for saving our economy. So our next president has a different job to do, building on the progress that President Obama has made.
No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third of its national income. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the tax collector's share. And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
When you think about 90%, you don't think that's obviously too high?
No.
We haven't balanced our budget 28 out of the last 34 years. We've raised our debt limit 3 times in the last 12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world.
The cupboard is there. There's no more cuts to make. It's really important that people understand that.
The U.S. debt level is fast approaching $18 trillion. That is well more than $55,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing.
And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man.
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the mainstream media, the corrupt politicians, they are pushing their events. Yes, we know there's going to be more events coming. And they believe, because they feel like they're in a power, they're in a position of strength, they believe they have the power. Yes, they're pushing fear and chaos with the masks, and they think, wow, we have everyone controlled. They're all listening to us. They're all brainwashed. They all believe what we're saying, and we're forcing people to do exactly what we want them to do. But what they don't see, what they don't notice, is that silent majority. They don't realize just because you're quiet doesn't mean you're going along with everything they say or anything they say. A lot of times, people, they feel it inside. They feel something that they need to do, but how do you do it? Yes, you could go out there and you could fight Antifa. This is exactly what they want. Yes, you can scream and yell. But if you look back at the Founding Fathers, if you look back at Martin Luther King, there's other ways to do it. Where sooner or later, the deep state, the mainstream media, they will notice. They'll try to stop it, but they won't be able to. And what do I mean by all this? I mean that if every single person from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South, all of us put out our flags, guess what happens? If a neighborhood sees two flags out, someone else puts out a flag. If three people have a flag, another person puts a flag. Now, I'm seeing it all over social media. And we're also getting messages from others, which I do not believe is a coincidence, saying it is time. And I do believe it is time. And this is something the deep state, the mainstream media, the corrupt politicians will not be able to fight against. Because when the people speak up, when the people say no more, what are they going to do? Tell us that we're all wrong? Well, remember, it's not their government. It's ours. We control them. We just forgot how to play the game. And now, the silent majority has learned the game. We're in the game. We're going to show them, and I'm talking about the deep state, the mainstream media, the corrupt politicians, how powerful the voice of the people really is. How much weight, how much power, how much force the people actually have. Without raising a weapon, without raising a hand, just showing them that we are the patriots of this country, that we love this country. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this a little bit later in this report. But I wanted to start off with Nicholas Salmon. Remember him? He was from Covington High School, and the mainstream media did these hit pieces on him, saying that he was stirring it up, and he started something when he really didn't. He was wearing a MAGA hat, and his other classmates were wearing MAGA hats. And he started to sue the mainstream media, and it seems that he is winning each suit. Well, it seems that the Washington Post and others, they've come to an agreement, which means he's won. This is what Nicholas Salmon tweeted out. On 2/19/19, I filed a $250 million defamation lawsuit against Washington Post. Today, I turned 18 and Washington Post settled my lawsuit. Thanks to Todd McCurtry and L. Linwood for their advocacy. Thanks to my family and millions of you who have stood your ground by supporting me. I still have more to do. So, two down, because the Washington Post and the CNN, they paid up, six more to go. Think about this for a sec. He's going after all of them. And now, in his other tweet, he says, we've settled with Washington Post and CNN. The fight isn't over. Two down, six to go. Don't hold your breath at Jack. That's interesting. And I believe we're going to see a lot more of this. Remember, Q has been telling us that class action lawsuits, they're very, very effective. And think about what the mainstream media has been putting out there. Think about the social media companies, what they have been doing. Now, very interestingly, Joe Biden, he's going to be continuing Obama's plan. Now, when Obama was in office, his plan was called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. So Biden plans is to force suburban towns with single-family homes and minimum lot sizes to build high-density affordable housing smack in the middle of their leafy neighborhoods. So think about that for a second. Back in 2015, Obama, he had the Department of Housing and Urban Development, he floated a cookie-cutter requirement for balanced housing in every suburb. Balance meant affordable even for people who need federal vouchers. Towns were obligated to do more than simply not to discriminate. As of 2013, HUD proposal explained, rather, towns had to make it possible for low-income minorities to choose suburban living and provide adequate support to make their choices possible. Now, if the rules have been implemented, and they were implemented nationwide, towns everywhere would have had to scrap zoning, build bigger water and sewer lines to support high-density living, expand schools and social services, add mass transit, all pushing up local taxes. Towns that refused would lose their federal aid. Now, would this help neighborhoods? Would this help cities? No. What were they doing? They were blending everything because they were moving towards a third world country. This is why all of this was being done. Trump tweeted this out. The suburban housewives of America must read this article. Biden will destroy your neighborhood and your American dream. I'll preserve it and make it even better. Ben Carson explains, President Trump and I agree that the best-run communities are the ones run locally. Today, we are tearing down the Obama administration's affirmatively furthering fair housing rule, which was an overreach of unelected Washington bureaucrats into local communities. So they were going to have unelected bureaucrats use this government program and tell you what they think is the right thing. So this is government saying this is what we want you to do because we're the government and we're telling you this is the right thing. Trump is saying, no, the local communities, they decide what they're going to do. Let me read further. The AFFH rule was a ruse for social engineering under the guise of desegregation, essentially turning HUD-Gov into a national zoning board. Furthermore, the funding subject to the AFFH rule has been misused and abused for decades as slush funds for pet projects and causes ranging from an entertainment venue to a splash park and Planned Parenthood funding. And Ben Carson continued, I am unwavering in my commitment to fair housing. When I arrived at HUD-Gov, we had a disproportionately huge backlog of fair housing complaints that the Obama admin had forgotten about from January 2017 to present. We have successfully resolved 22,933 cases. So this was planning for the next phase of the deep state plan. Trump is removing all of this. And this was not going to benefit the people. This was going to put government in charge. Remember, their entire plan was to remove the Constitution and have the government dictate everything to people. That's what they were planning on, and make everyone dependent on government. That's what they were trying to do. And of course, later phases, they were going to do other things. Now, they're still trying to push the same plan. Trump, his administration, and others, they're pushing against this. Actually, they're wiping out a lot of the plan. Remember, it's a 16-year plan. There are a lot of different mechanisms that go into this. One of them is censorship. And what are we seeing right now? They are pushing the plan to censor. Twitter, Facebook, they all came out with going after QAnon. They've been censoring others that they don't like. And now it has moved to TikTok. They're going to disable prominent hashtags associated with QAnon. This is a coordinated effort. Now remember, Trump put out an executive order. What executive order did he put out? Well, back in May 28, 2020, the executive order was on preventing online censorship. So all of these companies are going against his executive order. Does that mean they broke the law? Yeah. Let me read a portion of this. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows. Section 1 policy, free speech is the bedrock of American democracy. Our founding fathers protected this sacred right with the First Amendment to the Constitution. The freedom to express and debate ideas is the foundation for all of our rights as free people. In a country that has long cherished the freedom of expression, we cannot allow a limited number of online platforms to handpick the speech that Americans may access and convey on the internet. This practice is fundamentally un-American and anti-democratic. When large, powerful social media companies censor opinions with which they disagree, they exercise a dangerous power. They cease functioning as a passive bulletin boards and ought to be viewed and treated as content creators. Well, isn't that what TikTok? Isn't that what Twitter? Isn't that what Facebook and YouTube and Google and the rest are doing? Well, if we don't like what you're saying, or if you're mentioning something else that we don't agree with, we take you down. They never show you what you violated. They just, in general, tell you that you violated the terms of service, but they never pinpoint what you actually violated. And there are certain people that never violated anything. It had nothing to do with violence. They just didn't like what they were talking about. And if you start to edit who you want and who you don't want, and these people really didn't violate the terms, there's going to be a problem. This means you are now editing, which means you are no longer an open platform. You're editing what's on your platform, which makes you a publisher. Remember, the mainstream media had to pay up for putting out fake information for Nicholas Sandman. What do you think is going to happen with these platforms? The same thing.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry?" He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. And he said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, O say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. or the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the
Maverick Ministries, get your flags out. Be the silent majority. Show the deep state you're not going to take it anymore. We'll be live every Wednesday and Tuesday night right here on Maverick Ministries coming up in August, as well as we'll go to a full hour starting in early August. We thank you for listening. God bless you. God bless America. Good night.
Something is going on. Some of us see it, some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price.
The good guys with control over